Inspiration.
I can do anything.
Education.
Let's do this.
And application.
Oh boy, this is going to be good.
Welcome to Like It Matters Radio, keeping us out of the water hazard with some truth therapy and teeing up solutions for today's big issues. Here's your life caddy, Mr. Scott B. Black.
So welcome to the world of Mr. Black.
Welcome to the world of Mr. Black. I am he, you are you, and the time is now for Like It Matters Radio. This is where we work to live our lives like they matter. Because you don't need to look at the news. You don't need to see Russia attacking poor, innocent civilians, bombing churches or bombing hospitals, maternity wards. You don't have to see America sit by and do nothing. The most powerful nation in the world, and we sit by and watch people be slaughtered. Just stunning. You don't need to watch that or listen to that to realize that life is short. And there's a lot of pain. A good friend of mine, a listener, a guy who's been listening to us for a while now and went to my training and has become a friend, Mr. Jim Kinney. Just want to give a word out to you. He lost his brother, Dave Mark. And boy, Mr. Kinney's had a lot going on in his life lately. So I just want you to know I'm praying for you, brother. You know, your brother Mark is in a better place now. But, you know, that's the reality of life. You know, you've all heard the saying that there's only two constants in life, right? Death and paying taxes, right? You're going to die, you're going to pay taxes. But Paul did say, for those of you who are true believers, good news is some will not die. Because those of us that are alive when the Lord comes back for the rapture, we won't see that first death like Elijah and like Enoch, right? So today, on Like It Matters Radio, I want to talk about that middle ground. You know, no, I'm not talking about going woke and gone blind, deaf, and numb to the propaganda and programming of the progressive left. No, I'm not going to lower the bar and accept the good enough, you know, G-O-O-D-N-U-F-F, not that middle. No, we're not going to talk about the median or the average. Today, I want to go into the difference maker, you know, to go in between the stimulus and the response, to focus and commit to that space between the beginning and the end. And there's the date of our birth and the day that we die. The space between our dash of life does lie. And that's the reality. The Bible says it's appointed for man to die one time and then comes the judgment. I pray that Mark, Jim's brother, knew the Lord Jesus Christ, because God never intended a second death for anybody. And the second death is separation for God for eternity. You know, God basically gives you over to your will. If you didn't want to be a part of him, what he's doing on this side of eternity, then he grants your wish on the other side of eternity. Remember, God didn't make hell for people. He made it for the devil and his minions. So he never wanted anybody to go there. So today we're going to talk about the space between. And Dr. Viktor Frankl, the father of logotherapy, has one of my favorite quotes. If you listen to this radio show, you've heard it many times. Between the stimulus and the response, there's a space. And in that space is your power. It's your freedom. See, your power and your freedom is found in the space between that stimulus and response. And remember, the mind is six times faster than we can think. And so in time of despair, we're unconscious creatures. We go to what we know. Right? We go to what we know. In the animal kingdom, we call it instinct, right? Innate programming that drives the beast. And y'all got to know that we are all part of the animal kingdom. Of course, we sit above the animal kingdom, right? We are the top of the food chain. And this separates us from the other animals is we have spirits, we have souls, right? But, you know, we want to talk about that space in between, you know, because we are animals. We are programmed. We act more like animals today than a civilized people should, but we are. And I know some of you have a problem with that, but, you know, we are the top of the food chain. Remember Genesis 1, in the beginning God created, and then you got to drop down 25 verses. I got right here in front of me. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion, in other words, to dominate, dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Ready for this? Ready? Here it goes. Male and female. He created them. And God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. You hear it? Have dominion over the fish. Now, we're supposed to be good stewards, right? If you come to my house and watch my house for a week, you better take better care of it than you take care of your house, right? I know that's how I treat other people's stuff better than I treat my stuff. So we're supposed to be good stewards and to be diligent. But I want you to know today we're going to focus on that space between, because the Bible is about beginning and the end, right? The Bible says in the beginning God created, and then what, 2 Peter 3, I think 3:10, it says the elements are going to melt. And remember, Revelation 21, verse 1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. So, see, there's a beginning and an end. And what really matters, we don't control the beginning, right? People celebrate their birthdays, their greatest accomplishment in their life, and they weren't there. You ever get that one? They weren't part of the process, and yet it's the greatest celebration of their life. And then at the end, we're not there either. Our body's there, but our spirit is somewhere else. So this space between is what I want to focus on today. Yeah, because Dr. Viktor Frankl said the space between, right? And we're talking about the stimulus and response. So Dr. Frankl said between that space is freedom and power. Matter of fact, the law of requisite variety says between those two spaces are choice, freedom, flexibility, right? You don't remember the law of requisite variety, my favorite presupposition of NLP. It's the element in a system with the most flexibility has the most power. You hear it? And Dr. Viktor Frankl, it backs it up. Between the stimulus and response, there's a space, and in that space is your power of freedom. You know what's also in that space between is sensory acuity. Sensory acuity, a heightened sense of your state of senses. You know, when people leave our training, things look different. They sound different. They feel different. They smell different. They taste different. When people are going through life, they're aware. They're unaware. And one of the greatest things that people get out of my training, you can read about it at likeitmatters.net, is they become aware of being unaware. Most people are deaf, numb, and blind. They're walking around looking, but they don't see people. They're too busy judging them. Right now, you're all hearing me. Your tympanic membrane's vibrating, and my words are being translated in words in your head. But people don't listen at all. And we all can touch things. But most people stop feeling a long time ago about bitterness, hatred, anger, resentment, you know? And so between the stimulus and response, there's a narrative, a life script. There's victim talking points. We're going to talk about today. There's this place called now. It's Kairos, the now moment. But I also want to talk about the bigger picture. Because planes do crash and people do die. And one day, unless God comes sooner and gets us out of here, we're all going to be lying in a box at the front of the room someday. And people are going to talk about us. And you know what they're going to talk about? They're going to talk about what you did in the space between. What did you do in between the date of your birth and the date of your death? What difference did it make that the God of the universe breathed life into you? What impact did it have? And see, I don't care what your life's been up until now. I can tell you this. You can change it. You can do something different. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how good it is. It can be better. I don't care how many people's lives you've touched. You can touch more. But what the difference is what are you going to do with the space between? Because planes crash and people die. It's a fact of life. And someday, we'll be judged. We'll be judged by those standing at our funeral talking about us. And then one day we'll be judged by the God of the universe himself as we stand before him.
I know of a man who stood to speak at a gathering of family and friends. He spoke of a friend no longer here, not long ago, had been. In a box at the front of the room, there his friend does rest.
If today were your last day on the planet, would you say you've been the person you were put here to be? As a business professional, you feel that you have the difference that it takes to make a difference? You're invited to reignite your passion at Like It Matters Leadership Awakening with Mr. Scott Black. 48 hours that will transform you, March 31st through April 2nd in Minneapolis. Everything you have ever read, believed, or thought about leadership will come alive in this 2.5-day intense journey. Mr. Black will help you discover the best possible you and how to not only reach but go beyond your potential. You're a leader or have a desire to lead, this course is a must for you. Class size is intentionally small, and it fills quickly. Go to likeitmatters.net and see what others have experienced. Click on Schedule to register. Mr. Black's Like It Matters Leadership Awakening, March 31st through April 2nd in Minneapolis. Log on to likeitmatters.net and click on Schedule. likeitmatters.net.
For God to define the width, the intensity, this is yours. No butt prints in the sands of time. What will you do today? Every day is like a ticking clock. How did you spend your time before your time in the box? When your eulogy is written, life's actions rehashed. It's okay to be proud of things they say about how you spent your dash.
What a beautiful line. When it comes down to it, what are people going to say about how you spent your dash? The dash of your life, there's the date of your birth and the day that you die. The space between the dash of your life does lie. You know, and so many people think they're on a path that they can't change. So many people say, I'm just this way. This is just my lot in life. This is just the way it is. And I'm here to tell you, liar, not true. Behind me, Satan. But if you tell yourself that, guess what? You'll act as if. And so what's so cool is we get people from all walks of life, from all income levels, from all age groups. I've had 12-year-old kids and 84-year-old kids in my class. And I'll tell you what, it works. Because you finally stop the rat race alive and take a look at the space between. So we're blessed today to have a graduate from our recent Leadership Awakening Team 232 in Dallas-Fort Worth. Let's welcome Carlos to Like It Matters Radio. How you doing, my friend?
Good morning, Mr. Black. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
You are awesome, my friend. I'll tell you, I talked to Brenda last night, and man, she had a big old smile on her face. So praise God. So how did you find out about our training, Carlos?
I actually found out by Brenda. She went 3 years ago, and she came back, and she just said, like, hey, you should take it. You should take this course, this workshop. And when she brought it to my attention, I told her, sure, I'll do it. Just let me do it on my time. So this was my time.
Yeah, 3 years later. You know, Carlos, you are a little bit slower at times. But, you know, Carlos, I fell in love with Carlos. He's a great man. He's got a great heart. He's a great businessman. He's intelligent. He's good looking. He's got all those things. But more importantly, what I loved about Carlos is when Carlos came in my training, he came in here with the right state of mind. He came into my training willing to do everything. He trusted. He wanted something. His relationship with Brenda, you guys have been, together for 7 years?
Give or take, 7 years, yeah.
Give or take, on and off, but 7 years. So that's what I meant, Carlos. You're a little slower. And at the end of my class, you actually asked Brenda to marry you, correct?
I did. Actually, I did.
That's so cool. What did she say?
She said yes.
Yeah.
She had her moment.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, the cool thing about it is you came in that classroom, you trusted. What I do is intense. What I do, you can easily take it personal. Someone has a chip on their shoulder. If someone has a lot of resentment in their life, they'll think I'm doing stuff to them. But you never took anything I said or did personal. You were always willing to do whatever I asked you to do. And that told me the trust that you had for Brenda. So now you're in the business world. You go to a lot of trainings. What was different about the training you went through with me versus the typical leadership training you've been through in the past? What was so different about what you went through with me?
The difference is that it's intense, and it's a 2.5 days training. That's a big difference, as opposed to others where it's broken down into days, and it could be more breaks. This one's it's minimal breaks, and it's intense. Yeah. You have to be
submerged. It's immersive training. I mean, it was everything for 2.5 days, right, Carlos? You did nothing else for 2.5 days.
Nothing else but just pay attention and focus, and it's immersive.
Isn't that incredible? And it's transformational. I mean, what's different about Carlos today than Carlos before he went through my training? What's different?
That I have more of a purpose in life. I have a guide in my life, in myself, that I know what I got to follow and go through. Before, I would just take it day by day and see where it leads me. Now, I have a purpose. You know, as you mentioned earlier, Mr. Black, once I left the class, I asked Brenda to marry me, and she said yes. That gives me hope. That gives me a purpose in life now to move forward, to grow more, to give her more, give my family a little bit more. That's a big purpose
so cool.
in my life.
It's huge. And it's so cool, consistency. This is, you wrote at the end of your class, you write four answers to me. I asked you, what briefly share what your biggest block in life and business was before attending. And this is your quote, what you just said. My biggest block in life has been not having a purpose in life. No direction. Now I have a purpose, and it's up to me to follow through, create every day. But I love what you put under number two. You said, how will your experience at Leadership Awakening affect your life? You said, by leading by example, by showing my passion, my commitment, my focus, my vision, my team every day. And you have two children, and Brenda has two kids, so there's, you have four children. You're both business people. So that's important to be that role model. How important is that to you?
It's very important. To be a provider, to be a leader, they are looking up to me to show them how things are, how things should be, and be a good example to life. And that's important to me. That's a big purpose in life.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Have you noticed this week your confidence? Because you connect with people, right? You work for, Takis? You work for the company that is Takis, is that correct?
That is correct, yes. The makers of Takis.
Yes, so you go out and you present your product, the history of the company, right? So have you noticed how you're able to connect with people more this week? What have you noticed different this week as you deal with business people?
That I'm straightforward and more open-minded and more happy, more easygoing than before. Before I would just go in there like, okay, sure. You know, if they gave me said no, like whatever. Now it's just more enjoying doing what I do. That's what it is. That's a big difference. You know, if I love what I do and enjoy every single day, and they can see it in my eyes, they're going to love the product. I mean, people already love it, but when you sell it in and sell it as passion, they're going to enjoy it more.
Well, and I believe that. I believe that you build relationships with people, not products, not companies. So even though they love your products, and my little boy, my 15-year-old major, he cannot live without Takis. He's a real spicy one. He just lives off those things. I'm like, dude, you're going to turn into one of those one day because you are what you eat, you know? So it's already got a good product. It's got a good product. But the key is you're the face of that product. You're out there pressing flesh. You're out there with your smile. You're out there looking for, fighting for shelf space. Fighting for display space, right? I mean, that's a competitive arena, right? Right? And so your enthusiasm, your excitement, your ability to connect with people is greatly enhanced, and it increases your productivity, correct?
That is correct. Very correct.
Awesome, awesome. So what do you say, a biggest benefit? I know you're living with purpose right now, but outside of that, and that's huge, don't get me wrong, but what do you think is the biggest benefit that you got from that 48 hours with me?
When I went in there, like you said it, Mr. Black, I went in with an open mind and so forth. It was mostly an affirmation for me to, you know what, I could do this in life and grow from it, right? And that's the biggest purpose for me that I was able to get out of your 10th class, you know, affirmation that I could do it. It just needed, I just had to prove to myself that it could be done, and I actually did it. You know?
Yeah, and that self-confidence, see, that's what we're talking about. Self-confidence is BS. It's belief system. And remember, we talk about this, Carlos, and I break it down for you in class. Everything we do or do not do is driven by a belief system. I mean, if you believe that you're a piece of crap, you're going to act like you're a piece of crap. If you believe that you're a victim, then you're going to act like a victim. If you believe that you have a purpose on this planet, then you're going to live like you have a purpose on this planet. And this is why today, you know, I titled the show, Carlos, The Space Between, because we hit that over and over in your class, that no one responds to reality. What we respond to is our map of reality. We don't respond to what people are doing to us. We respond to what we believe people are doing to us. We don't respond to what's going on. We respond to what we believe is going on. And what's so cool is between the stimulus and the response, there's that space where we have our power of freedom. And I want to acknowledge you because in that space between, you didn't have resentment toward me. You didn't have bitterness. You didn't threaten to walk out. You didn't think I was doing anything bad. you trusted Brenda, you believed in Mr. Black, and you believed in the process, and the whole thing was positive. And so I want you to know I'm proud of you. As I told Brenda, I think I told you too, I said about a day into it, because we've known Brenda for 3 years. You know, she staffed with us. She's hung out with us. So she's a friend. She's like family. And so after the first day, I looked Ms. Black in the face and said, man, I think I like him better than Brenda. So I saw your heart, brother. I love you. I appreciate you. And, you know, if anything I can do to help you out, I'm here to walk with you, okay, my friend?
Thank you, Mr. Black. Appreciate all that.
All right, buddy. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you as well. Bye.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, that's what I get to do. I get to intercede with people. And really, when it comes down to what I do, I get inside their heads. But more importantly, I have them get inside their head. Because between the stimulus and the response, there's a space. See, we are more responsible for our experience than we take credit for. But the reason we don't admit that is because of the secondary gain or the secondary consequence. See, if we admit that we're in control with how we feel, if no one can make us angry but us, that we have to play along, no one can make us bitter but us, we have to play along, you know what that removes from us? That removes from us the ability to play the victim, to feel sorry for ourselves. And let's be honest, ladies and gentlemen, and we're teaching our kids this, is we're becoming a nation of victims. I mean, it scares me because, boy, the philosophy of the classroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. And the old saying is, you get the government that you have. You deserve it. So, ladies and gentlemen, today we're talking about what happens in the space between the stimulus and the response. That is your power. That is your freedom. And I'm Black. We'll be right back. Give me 48 hours and I will give you a new beginning. Give me 48 hours and I will give you hope. Give me 48 hours and I will give you your power back. Because between the stimulus and the response, there is a space. And in that space is your freedom. It is your power.
At Like It Matters Leadership Awakening, 48 hours will change the course of your life. Discover the very purpose of your life, along with the ability to achieve. Give Mr. Black 48 hours in the next Leadership Awakening. Sign up at likeitmatters.net/schedule.
Welcome back to Like It Matters Radio. Radio, Like It Matters, inspiration, education, and application. I am Mr. Black, and today we are talking about the space between. Because it was Dr. Viktor Frankl that says, between the stimulus and the response, there's a space. And in that space is our power. It is our freedom. And so many people are looking for that power. They're looking for that freedom. They're looking to get it from government. They're looking to get it from people. They're looking to get it from the red team or the blue team. But you don't get it there. You claim it. It comes from God. It's innate. So what do you find between the space between? You know, there's power. There's freedom. There's flexibility and choice, right? The law of requisite variety. Any element in a system with the most flexibility has the most power. Are you that element? That's the key. You know what's also in the space between is sensory acuity. Remember, we only function at 3 to 5% consciousness. And so most of our life is unconscious and everything's stored in our unconscious. Even if you don't remember something consciously, I guarantee you all the data is stored back in your unconscious mind. And you could go to any time, any space in your past just by recreating it sensory. Because remember, you have a sensory-based organ called the brain. Every memory you have is stored in the senses. It's something you saw, something you heard, something you felt, something you smelled, something you tasted. There's no other way to codify experience. It's the only way you can. It's in the five senses. And so deja vu, right, is similar to longitude, latitude. You know, if you give a pilot, someone who knows what to do with those numbers, two numbers, then they can get you any place in the world. Well, for experience, we have the same thing. There are five coordinates, though. Olfactory, gustatory, auditory, visual, and kinesthetic. You know, it's the five senses. You see things, you hear things, you touch things or experience them. You smell things, you taste things. It's the five senses. And so you got to understand how we work. And because we're so numb, we're just going through the motions, we miss a lot. And so in my training, I teach you how to live in the now moment. I actually teach you how to steal time, because most people never live in the now moment. That's why they have no control. Why do you think we get so emotionally hijacked? You're just reactionary. You're just like an animal. You know, the Bible says a dog returns to his vomit, and a sow, after cleaning herself, returns to the mire. Why? Because you can tell a man's religion in time of despair. Because we go to what we know. And what happens is we go to our past. So someone says something or does something, because the mind is six times faster than we talk, we don't respond to what they did. We go to our three channels. We see something based in our past or about our past. We hear something. Again, we're talking to ourselves about our past or based on our past. Or we feel something, again, based on what's going on, based on our past. And then based on that, we respond. We're not responding to what the other person said or did. Listen, you're responding to your narrative. See, that's what you're responding to. This is why the battle for the narrative that's going on right now is so important. You got to get this. This is not political. This is human. You got to know when you're being played, player. You got to know how you work. It's so important, because there is a beginning and end to anything, to relationships, to life, to the earth. I mean, it's all biblical. One of my favorite songs was Dave Matthews Band. Remember The Space Between? The space between where you smile and hide is where you'll find me if I get to go. The space between the bullets and our firefight is where I'll be hiding, waiting for you, the rain that falls. The space between our wicked lies is where we hope to keep safe from pain. The space between what's wrong and right is where you'll find me hiding, waiting for you. The space between your heart and mine is a space we'll fill with time, right? And that's the dash of your life. You know, when we're talking about our eulogy, it's the space between. What do we do with the space between? And the words were, if you didn't hear them well, because I wrote them, I know of a man who stood to speak at a gathering of family and friends. He spoke of a friend no longer here, not long ago had been. In a box at the front of the room, his friend has lay his final bed. Tears flowing, speaking words of wisdom. And this is what he said. There's the date of our birth and the day that we die. Our space between the dash of life does lie. The way that we live on this earth, this becomes our dash. When you live your life like it matters not. The cars, the house, the cash. Think about that. Are there things you'd like to change? The time is now. You could be at the end or mid-dash range. You can't control the length of your dash. This is for God to divine. The width, intensity, this is yours. No butt prints in the sands of time. What will you do today? Every day is like a ticking clock. How did you spend your time before your time in the box? When your eulogy is written, life's actions are rehashed. It's okay to be proud of things they say about how you spent your dash. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you right now, when people come in my training at likeitmatters.net, they have a manual. And I don't even reference what's inside the manual, because I give them lots of stuff to add to that manual. But the very first sheet of paper in their manual is this. It's an unknown saying, but this is how I live my life. It's 11:59 on the clock of destiny, and you've only got a minute. Only 60 seconds in it, forced upon you, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to you to use it. You'll suffer if you lose it, give account if you abuse it. It's only a minute, but eternity is in it. And that's the space between. It's a small space, but everything is in it. That's where commitment and focus come together. That's where Dr. King had a dream. Vision and hope equals dream. And without a vision, people perish. And hope is a forward direction. But here's the problem. We're living in a world that's wanting to control the narrative. It's getting uglier and uglier and uglier. I mean, I was on the Blaze this morning. And this is the four articles on the Blaze video. thug throws 62-year-old nurse halfway down concrete steps in unprovoked attack, then tosses her farther down and appears to stomp on her head. So again, you won't ever hear about it. It looks like a black man doing this to a white person. No one wants to talk about that. It's because America's okay with racism, as long as it's the right type of racism. And by the way, this guy has a lengthy rap sheet. It was a 62-year-old nurse, but whenever it's black-on-white violence, you'll never hear race mentioned, just so you know the patterns. So how about this one? These four articles. Former CNN star correspondent mocks Fox News reporter killed in Ukraine war. I guess a case of friendly fire, huh? This is how callous we're becoming. Police said a 3-year-old accidentally fired a gun and killed his mother. And guess what? So now they charge the father with a gun crime. So mother's dead, and now father's going to prison. Texas teens find 4 abandoned children under 4 years old. Police said they had been alone for up to 2 days. See, that's what the world's telling you. And people are getting lonely. They're getting miserable. They're getting empty. They've lost their country. America is no longer what it was. They've lost hope. They've lost their freedoms. They've lost their rights. Some of you don't get this. It's not about red team or blue team. This is about eternity. And so what do I do? What I do is I help people get control of what's going on between the stimulus and the response. I give them back their power and their freedom. So the class that Mr. Carlos just went to, another gentleman, Mr. Russman, here's what he said as he was leaving my class. Quote, this is what it's called, the fifth report. I feel like today is the first day of the rest of my life. I have truly been awakened. I see myself, others, and the world in a completely new light. For the first time, I look forward to what the future has in store for me. I cannot wait to take my new mindset into the world. There's not anything I can't accomplish. There's no fear that can hold me back. I will be a better worker, a better leader, a better partner, a better man. I will do whatever I set my mind to. And then I asked him, briefly, tell me, what was the biggest block in life that was holding you back? He said it was myself. I could pick anything on that list. I give people a list of 20 of what the biggest blocks of leadership. He said he could have picked any of them. But he said, ultimately, I was inside my own head talking myself down. I will no longer be this way. Ladies and gentlemen, I met the enemy, and he's living in my shorts. If other people said and did to us what we allow in the space between, we would never tolerate it. We have 30 to 60,000 thoughts per day, and a lot of it is stinking thinking. And Dr. Caroline Leaf, in the study of epigenetics, she wrote a couple great books, Who Shut Off My Brain or Turn On Your Brain, a couple of them, Dr. Caroline Leaf. She says that basically 87% of diseases are psychosomatic. She says we're poisoning ourselves with our bitterness, with our hatred. With our and this is what we live in a world that wants you to believe and hate. They want to control. I mean, did you see this? Tulsi Gabbard is talking about the biolabs in Ukraine. There are biolabs in Ukraine. We have Soviet era of viruses and germs that are under, that are being studied, and they're working to protect them. Because Tulsi Gabbard brought that up, Gabbard, whatever her last name is, she's now a Russian propagandist. That's true. But now if you believe that, it's like ivermectin. It's like ivermectin. It's like all those other things. If they say it's bad, something that's good for 60 years, this is why the narrative's so important. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to realize we're being attacked. I mean, do you see what the New York Times reporter spills fascinating details of January 6th coverage on the blaze? Project Veritas, it is spied, had a secret camera, one of the top reporters in New York Times, and he's laughing about how they made up the whole January 6th thing. All the reporters were there. They were in the building. There's nothing to fear. They're just working this up to scare people. And he's laughing about it, that people are calling this insurrection, that you guys are believing what they're saying. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we need to get to. And after the break, I'm going to show you specifically one key way that you can take back your power. You can take back your freedom by controlling what goes on between the stimulus and the response. I am Black, and we'll be right back.
We are all in the construction business, constructing memories, relationships, new ideas, and a legacy that will outlive us. Life is best imagined as a construction project.
Hey, can we get that backhoe over here?
At Like It Matters, we craft tools and teach you how to use them. Mr. Black has a bevy of tools to help you build your life into your dream. One of those tools is individual life counseling. The best analogy is a life caddy, because sometimes you just need another set of eyes. A second tool, Books by Mr. Black, always opening up your mind. Third, workshops, where we teach people how they work and how to function at a higher level.
Nice job. That's it for today. Wrap it up.
Contact Mr. Black at mr.black@likeitmatters.net. Building a better you today. Likeitmatters.net. Helping people live their lives like they matter. That's mr.black@likeitmatters.net. Discover the tools to build your relationships, your vision, and your life.
Welcome back to Like It Matters Radio. Radio, Like It Matters, inspiration, education, and application. Today, we are talking about the space between. And yeah, I cannot really respond to text while I'm on the radio, but yeah, our next class is in Minneapolis, March 31st. We'll be in Minneapolis, our first class in 2 years. We got 12 spots. I think we got 7 left. So we live small plane. I promise you, if you're in that class, it'll change your life forever. So go to likeitmatters.net. After that, it's April 21st through 23rd in Dallas-Fort Worth, which is my first home. Minneapolis-St. Paul is my second home. So I want to give you a nugget to take with you. You know, inspiration, education, application. Application is the ability to do something with what you're listening to. I'm not into Jeopardy knowledge. I don't want to impress you with my knowledge. I don't want to have any knowledge that my only use of that knowledge is if I'm on a game show someday. I want to be able to apply it. There's only so much random access memory. One thing that's going on in America today is we've become the land of the victim and the home of the free lunch. We get our DNA tested to see what percentage of a victim we are. And I want you to know it's really important. Because again, studying the logical levels, you got to be careful what you attach to your identity. So we've all had bad stuff happen to us. We've all been victimized. The most victimized people in the world are not black people. They are the Jews. And last time I checked, the most successful people in the world are Jewish people. Yet they have more reason to complain than anybody else. And so this is what happens between the stimulus and response. Remember, I told you there's a lot is rest in between the stimulus and response. There's your power. There's your freedom. But there's also the narrative. The narrative is your explanation of things. The narrative is an underlying belief system that really dictates how you respond. And so what's going on right now is America, and I believe it's spiritual, it's all spiritual, so I'm a Christian first and foremost, so I believe the spirit of the Antichrist is rising up, and this is all about good versus evil, this is all about dark versus light, this is all about God versus his powerful creation, just a creation, not an anti-God, just a creation called Lucifer. And so there's something going on right now that's called the drama triangle. I always reference it because I think it gives you a simple little picture of why we're in such a mess we're in. America is in the drama triangle. If you want to check it out when you're not on the radio with me, you can Google it. His name's Stephen Cartman with a K, K-A-R-P, man, Cartman. All right. And so the corners of the drama triangle. The drama triangle, and by the way, I got this little piece here I'm going to share with you, Unstuck Advice, a good little website. I like it. It says, How to Escape the Drama Triangle by Melody Wilding. So the drama triangle is a concept that defines the three roles people typically take in a high conflict situation. Contrary to its name, the triangle doesn't have to involve three people. It simply follows how different personalities affect each other during a conflict. Remember, as I explained this, it all comes down to the narrative. We don't respond to anything. We respond to what we believe about things. So you got to understand that. You're not responding to what happens to you. You're responding to what you believe, the meaning of why and what happened to you. What does it mean about you to you? I know that's kind of deep for some of you, but that's really what's going on. And so based on what we tell ourselves, remember when Jesus Christ was being crucified, I would have said a lot of things if I was being nailed to a cross by my creatures. Not one thing of the millions of things I could have said would have been, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. But that's what Jesus said. Because as I go through the drama triangle, consider that we're like sponges. Right? Remember the narrative? The narrative is what you keep telling yourself, what you allow other people tell you over and over and over. The narrative is what you play in your head over and over and over. And what you play in your head over and over and over is what you believe. That's why I tell you, turn off CNN, turn off MSNBC, because you're becoming a sheeple. Because you're believing the lies. You're believing the propaganda. We have state-run media, just no different than China and Russia. And we don't follow after God, no different than China and Russia. Matter of fact, Russia's got far more laws against killing babies, And against homosexual behavior. And again, I don't think homosexuality should be outlawed. But I'm saying they're at least taking a religious approach. They're at least attempting to, quote, legislate morality, which you should never do. It's ugly. So I'm not saying that's okay. But at least they're making an effort. We don't even make an effort anymore. Right? So you got the three roles of the drama triangle. You got the victim. You got the rescuer, and you got the persecutor. And you can see this right now. This is how the Democrats have to have black people be victims. If the Democratic Party ever lost the victim of the black person, they're done. Because Hispanics are already going in droves. Hispanics has always been more conservative. I can't believe Hispanics were voting Democrat. That was the lie. But now they're finally, duh, what are we thinking? Well, they believe in God. They're hard workers. They want to be left alone by the government. That's a Republican. That's a conservative. And so you see the victim, the rescuer, and the persecutor. So the victim, right? This is CRT, critical race theory. The victim is anybody black, right? Anybody black, right? So the victim, the mindset is when problems arise, the victim tends to look helplessly inward. They spin a small anxiety. They say, something little, like a little problem. Someone said something. Someone looked in wrong. Someone said something they didn't like. And they turn it into an outsized disaster. They're a drama queen. Everything's about them. They're high maintenance people. And then you have the rescuer. Now, the rescuer sounds good, but the rescuer is an enabler. The rescuer does for somebody else what they should be doing for themselves. The rescuer actually keeps the victim stuck. And it's not ever about the victim. The rescuer is taking care of the rescuer, believe it or not. They need to rescue to have their value in life. It's a superiority complex. It's a savior complex. It's a lot of different things. But the rescuer is the classic enabler who swoops in to save the day. He or she can be relied upon to always put out a fire or show up at the last minute. Well-meaning to a fault, this, quote, fixer behavior can lead to resentment, burnout. So the rescuer is, of course, the Democratic Party. The victim is black people. And then the persecutor, I'm just telling you the narrative in relation to racism, because America's okay with racism today. As long as it's black against white, it's okay to call white people names. It's okay to call white people anything. It's okay to call conservatives. It's okay to call Christians. You can't call a gay person anything. You can't call a transgender person anything. You can't call a Muslim anything. You can't call a black person anything, right? But you can call a white person anything you want. You can call a Christian anything you want. You can call a conservative anything you want. You can throw them in jail. You can spit on them. You can attack them because we know they're just deplorable. We know they're insurrectionists. We know they're enemies of the state. Don't you hear the programming? See, whether you believe, whether you're on the other side or not, you got to hear this programming. Is what Hitler did. Is what we see in Ukraine and Russia. And we mock the Russians for doing it. And yet we're doing the same thing in America. But we're so self-righteous. So we got to be careful. And the persecutor, we all know the persecutor, the go-to strategies are often controlling, blaming, criticizing arguments, right? And so white people we know in their story are as a persecutor. Now, I use that as you can see the bigger picture with the woke philosophy. That's what I just used it for. But let me tell you what you do different in the space between. Four steps to escape the drama triangle. Number one, identify your role. Number two, ask yourself which of the labels you identify with most, because we all play all three roles, but which one do you identify most? And then in the space between, do things differently. Victims, instead of outsourcing your self-esteem by seeking validation from other people, strengthen your decision-making skills and start acting before you feel ready and move on beyond your emotions. You're not what you feel. Rescuers, pay attention to what drains your energy, people, specific activities. Curb the people-pleasing because that's what drives you. You want to be liked. Develop firm boundaries and learn to say no more than you say yes. And then persecutors, replace accusatory sweeping statements like you always forget to call with I statements. When I didn't hear from you, I felt worried. Quit blaming other people for your choices. Own your own world and then be a positive person around other people. See, what's different is what you do the space between. And ladies and gentlemen, in our lives, what we do between the time of our birth and the time of our death matters. Because there'll come a point in our lives, we're going to take our last breath. And the Bible says it's appointed for man to die one time, and then comes the judgment. But before the judgment comes the eulogy and the funeral. I'm black. We'll talk again tomorrow, same time, same bat channel. And remember, when you live your life like it matters, it does. And guess what?
People die in the wink of an eye. It's a fact of life.
Thank you.
have been listening to Mr. Black, Master Trainer for Like It Matters. Please find us on Facebook by searching LIM Radio. Make sure to follow us, like our posts, and share with others. Also, search YouTube for Like It Matters. Be sure to like and subscribe to our channel. And for more information on how we can help you live life like it matters, go to likeitmatters.net, where you can find more information on our transformational training, our life coaching, counseling, our radio show, and other ways we help you continue the journey of living life like it matters.